Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Respected and honorable ulama, brothers and elders, the topic that we have at hand today is the noble character and the compassion of the last Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps some of the reasons why we choose a topic like this on this particular occasion is because if we look around us, the amount of aggression, the amount of violence, the amount of abuse that takes place in our community, in our society, most especially abuse to our own women and our own children, violence, we speak today of road rage, and we have a whole lot of aggression that has been manifesting itself in the last few years. And we find that we as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some way or the other have become affected by it. The reasons we will not go into, but there is no doubt in the fact that violence is portrayed in every media that we pick up today. And as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one duty that is incumbent upon us is that we become proactive. And perhaps the way that we become proactive is immediately turn to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look into the beautiful life, the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make a firm decision to follow this akhlaq and sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On this topic of akhlaq, when we pick up many kitabs of hadith, like for example Mishkat, when the author discusses akhlaq and character and personality, then amongst the first ahadith that is usually brought is the hadith of rifq. Like in one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam says, "May yuhramu rifq, faqad yuhramu al-khayr." That person who is void, that person who is deprived of compassion, of softness, then he has been deprived of a good that Allah Rabbul Izzat had descended on the hearts of people. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam says that Allah himself is rafiq, Allah has this quality of compassion. And it is this quality of compassion that Allah loves. And it is by compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends His favors upon His servants. So when we understand and we go straight to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps the greatest interaction by which an individual can ascertain Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq and character and compassion is how Nabi alayhi salat wa salam had treated his enemies, most especially the captives and the prisoners of war. We need to just understand one aspect of a prisoner or a captive, a prisoner of war, and that is he was a person in the context of Islam fighting against the Muslims in support of kufr against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we just dwell on this and learn from the few examples that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set down, that there was no benefit materially that an individual would have gained from a prisoner. But what was the hukam? What was the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his action? After the battle of Badr, when the prisoners of war were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not concern himself about building any prison. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's immediate response to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was istawsu bil usara khairan. That, oh my beloved Sahaba, you have followed every other sunnah of mine, and especially at the time of Badr, the enthusiasm, the fervor which Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had shown and they had displayed. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's immediate response was, oh my beloved Sahaba, treat the prisoners with kindness and good. What was the consequences and what was the result of this hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a nutshell? When they bring these prisoners to Madinah Tayyibah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam distribute these prisoners to the homes of the Sahaba. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reiterates that you will treat these prisoners with kindness and compassion. Amongst these prisoners, and this can be one of the greatest evidence that is given by a prisoner himself, the brother of the Sahabi Musab ibn Umair, Abu Aziz ibn Umair, he says that I was taken into this home of an Ansari, of a person who lived in Medina. I did not know that person, he did not know me. There was no relationship whatsoever. We had no prior interaction with each other. But what I had noticed was whatever little was cooked in his home, sometimes it was just a matter of dry bread. But these people, the housefolk, will present this bread to me and they will not eat. And at that time, if there was some khajur, at that time, if there was some dates, they would eat those dry dates, but they will not touch that bread until I had finished it. And like that, many prisoners of war had bear testimony to the actions of Sahaba, that compassion in fulfilling the command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers, at this point, we need to also introspect in our lives, that we perhaps do not have interaction with people who fought and fight the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We have a general interaction with people who are on our side, our wives, our children, our neighbors, the people that are working with us. But sometimes the undue aggression, the undue abuse, and there is no abuse that we can say is due, and the violence that is exercised by an individual needs much to be desired. If you go to another hadith, we will find that on one occasion from Najd, a prisoner was brought to Madinah Munawwara to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the first day, on the first meeting, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets this prisoner, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, what do you have to say? The person says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in taqtul, taqtul dhadamin. If you wish, kill, and you will kill a person in whom blood flows. In other words, I am a living being, and you know the consequences, that perhaps my people will retaliate. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ شَاكِرًا. And if you show any compassion, if you favor, then you will favor an appreciative person. وَإِن تُرِدِ الْمَالِ. And if you wish and you desire wealth, then فَسَلْ تُؤْتَى. Then ask, and you will be given whatever wealth you so desire, you will be given. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam listens. Here is a prisoner, and he is giving the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam options. Usually it is the other way, that the person who is holding the captive will give the options. And here he is giving the Nabi of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these options. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam visits him the next day, and the same discussion takes place. And on the third day, the same discussion takes place. He gives Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam these options. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, brother, I have freed you. As soon as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, brother, I have freed you, this person stands up and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Respected and dear friends, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed that compassion. And of course, the individuals on various occasions accepted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we go through Islamic history, we will be amazed to know that much of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, much of his 23 years of nubuwat, in the region of about 20 years possibly, was a period in which Islam lived in a minority. And Nabi alayhi salat wasalam, on various occasions had showed us how we conduct ourselves in a minority or in a majority situation. But perhaps the greatest example for us as an ummah should be the example of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. Many of us are acquainted with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu as being that person who changed the scene of the battle of Uhud. We know at the time of Uhud, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had made significant ground. The mountain pass from behind was being guarded by the archers at the instruction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they fell short of the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khalid bin Walid spots the opportunity, he comes from behind and he changes the entire scenario. 70 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum become shaheed. Many more had been injured. And above all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is injured. Over and above that, in the 6th year of the Hijrah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proceeds to Makkah Mukarramah with the intention of Umrah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam en route comes to a point, to a place. It is the time of Dhuhr. Khalid bin Walid had come with a little regiment. And Khalid bin Walid had been guarding Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in an waiting for the opportune moment to strike at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knowing full well that Sahaba were in the state of ihram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself in the state of ihram, they were not carrying their weapons openly to show that they were going to fight, they had merely come with the intention of making tawaf of Baytullah and making the umrah. It is the time of Dhuhr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam performs his Dhuhr Salat, and after the Dhuhr Salat, the thought comes to Khalid that this was the opportune moment when they were performing the Salat. But Khalid also realizes that this is not the last Salat. There will be a Namaz, a Salat that comes after this, and that becomes the opportunity now where we will strike, and this is the last opportunity that we will have. But in the interim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is termed as salatul khawf, the salat at the time of battle. Even on those crucial moments, brothers, namaz is not maaf, it is not forgiven. The gist of it is, half the army will perform the salah behind Nabi alayhi salam, the other half of the group will keep guard. And that is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed Asr salat, hence minimizing or rather depriving Khalid of that opportunity. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah is signed. The Muslims were not allowed entry into Makkah, but they had to return on the 7th year of the Hijrah. On the 7th year of the Hijrah, Khalid knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to come to Makkah, and as per the treaty, only 3 days in Makkah. Khalid leaves Makkah Mukarramah. And the reason why he leaves Makkah is because his eyes could not tolerate that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is left free to make tawaf of Baytullah. That is that enmity, that is the hatred that Khalid had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Khalid's brother. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam inquires from him, where is Khalid? The brother was unable to express to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the reason of Khalid's absence. So he makes an excuse on behalf of his brother that Khalid is gone out of town for some work. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to his brother, give Khalid my message that he is a wonderful person. He has that intellect, and that intellect will attract him towards Islam. Khalid comes back. Can we imagine the enmity? In one narration, the brother had written a letter to his brother,
And when Khalid realizes and understands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words, brothers, he gets onto his conveyance, he goes to Madinah Tayyibah, and he accepts this deen of Islam. And we understand thereafter, Khalid, who was known as Sayfun min Suyufillah, one of the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go into the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, especially in the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and possibly there will be questions in our minds, that sometimes we see people breaking the commandments of Allah. How do we respond and how do we react? At the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was a person who would come to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sit in the majlis and in the company of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and pay attention to the words of Umar. And a few days later, this person disappears, he's absent from the majlis. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquires about his condition. The person informs Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that this man has taken to alcohol, he has become an alcoholic. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu puts pen to paper, and after the traditional salam, he reminds him about an ayah of the Quran Kareem, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَافِرِ الذَّمْ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْإِقَابِدِ التَّوْلِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a zat, such a being, غَافِرِ الذَّمْ, Allah Rabbul Izzat forgives sins. Brothers, there are many sins that we have committed, many sins we commit. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives those sins by virtue of His own mercy upon us. There are many sins we do not ask for forgiveness, Allah Rabbul Izzat forgives. There are those sins that Allah forgives by virtue of some action that we carry out and we don't even know that our sins have been forgiven. If we have to forgive someone, we will make mention of it. You know, they say, Allah gives and Allah forgives. Man gets and man forgets. Allah Rabbul Izzat forgives the sins of that individual. وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. And Allah is that Zat, Allah is that being, that if the servant makes tawbah to Allah, he asks Allah for forgiveness with sincerity, Allah Rabbul Izzat will certainly forgive that individual. غَافِرِ الذَّمِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ. Despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in taking retribution. That toll, and Allah Rabbul Izzat is that Zat who has all the power, and at the same time Allah is most favorable. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hands this letter over to the messenger with the explicit instruction that hand this letter to this person, but in a time when he is not intoxicated. The messenger does so. The person opens the letter of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What would have went through the mind of an individual that the Amirul Mu'mineen is writing, no other person but Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reads these words of the Quran Kareem. He places the letter on one side. He begins to tear, he begins to cry. He makes sajda, he lifts his hands and he makes dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat and he asks Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. The messenger comes back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and after he relates what he had witnessed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and brothers, this is the important issue. He addresses Sahaba radiallahu anhum on this issue, and he says, this is how we make islah, this is how we reform people. We show them the greatness of Allah and the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat. If we do not do this, then we will be assisting shaitan. Do not become an assistant of shaitan. Respected and dear friends, on various occasions, we will find people around us, our families, etc., breaking the commandments of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We become violent, we become abusive. Sometimes without any reason we become violent and abusive. They have committed a wrong, we commit a greater crime. They broke the commandments of Allah, we also break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected and dear friends, at this particular time, when there is so much of rage, there is so much of outrage, there is so much of violence, there is so much of abuse, there is so much of aggression that is going around in our environment, at these particular times, we need to turn and look at the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that composed sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inculcate it, bring it into our lives and understand that whatever we do it for the sake and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant me the tawfiq and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.